Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back. I hope you're having a fantastic fall so far. I have only personally had think three pumpkin spice lattes, and that makes me sad. I'm losing time. But I did get all my scarves out the other day. Scarves, not scarves. Unfortunately, I really hardly ever wear them, but I would like to think of myself as a person who wears scarves. I really don't need them in Texas, but when I do need them, I still don't wear them. And even though I have a very small closet, I still make sure to put them out in the fall. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So that's how I'm enjoying the fall. I hope that you are having a lovely time. This week, I get to bring you a friend of mine, September McCarthy. Such a calm, soothing, gentle spirit. I love every interaction that I've had with her. And she is a mother of 10 kids, has basically earned the right to get all of our ears about what the heck we're supposed to be doing and how to do it well. In this episode, she talks about the time she literally packed a bag and almost left her whole family. She almost lost her marriage. She tells us about how to cast a vision for your motherhood and what does making a family culture look like, which I love this topic. She has a lot of wisdom. She is very, very much a mom in the trenches of so many offspring, but she's doing a really good work, and so are you. And so I need you to hear what she has to say. Let's go ahead and get started. How many kids are living in your house right now?
Seven.
Okay, so just seven.
Seven.
So lighter load.
Yeah, seven, and two are married.
Okay.
And we have two grandchildren.
Yes, so, I love that.
Yeah, we're only homeschooling five.
Oh, okay, so really nothing.
Well, no, it's like we haven't started. I just got my last book box in the mail. I'm really not doing well with it this year, but...
How many years have you homeschooled?
21.
So all of them?
Yeah.
All the years? Okay. I haven't seen you. Has it been like 5 years?
Yeah, like... Declare, right?
Yes.
So I was just thinking this morning, I'm like, you know, I think we sat next to each other at one of the first declares.
Yes.
At dinner, right?
Yes.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, we definitely sat by each other. And I just remember thinking, that's September McCarthy. I just think she's fantastic. I really.
But you hadn't started blogging your podcast and you were trying to figure out which, you know, what you're going to do.
Yeah, I had just started all the things.
I'm so excited. I'm just so excited that what you had your 100th episode.
I did. You know, what's so funny is I was so new to blogging. I didn't know maybe that there were speakers. I don't know what I thought was happening, but you were a speaker and we were sitting by each other. I loved going knowing nothing because I didn't know who I was talking to. I was just having the best time. And then like you got up and talked. I'm like, oh, she was like paid to be here.
I don't like to tell people, you know, like even sharing that I've written a book is really hard for me.
Yeah.
So doing these podcasts is easier because then it's not that I want people to share, but it's easier than I'm not like, I wrote a book. I'm supposed to share. It's so hard. I'm not that type of person. And I feel like I'm flooding people's lives with it. So I'm grateful for this.
Yeah. Well, I feel thankful that at this point, God has not given me any indication that I'm supposed to write a book because seeing you people do all of this is exhausting to me.
Yeah. Well, this isn't the time to ask me. Yeah. I want to be really positive and excited, but today might not be the day to ask me.
Yeah. Well, it sounds so intense. Let me just say what I know about you. You live in, New York, and you have 10 kids, and you've homeschooled them all. What does your husband do?
He's a builder. Contractor. So we built our home together. So in my book, I call him the builder.
Well, yeah, you always do. And so I just thought, well, maybe he's like just really encouraging. I didn't know he's literally a builder.
Yep. He's a builder. I mean, Andy is encouraging. So it kind of, you know, that's just what I chose to call him because that's what he does. Like for our book launch party, he's building all these things out of wood.
I love it. What's he building?
So they look like like a bar, but they're not a bar. They're like vintage looking. So when people walk up, the books will be there. They can be served there. You know what I mean? Like it's a welcome bar. So okay. It's really cool. It's like the height of a counter.
I love
and it. I went and bought these like really pretty things to put coffee beans in,
yes.
You know, like chocolate covered coffee beans, and it'll be like a station, but it's really pretty. And he's going to put them on the deck, and we hung all these white lights. And so I feel like I'm getting ready for a wedding.
Yeah.
We have like 100+ people coming.
I love it.
So it's going to be fun. But basically we redid the whole inside of our living room just to get ready, you know, because there's yes. So many people coming into my home.
Yeah. Well,
do a lot of furniture restoration and painting.
I do some, yeah. And I'm not that good at it. I do definitely like the easy wrong way. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, that's what we're doing. Like, I just had my daughter prime and paint all the furniture in my living room.
I love it.
But you do that on your Insta story, and I love that. I love watching those things.
So fun. Okay, so listen, I love your book.
Oh, Emily, thank you.
I say no to authors every 5 minutes, but just because I don't have a choice, you know what I mean? Like, I just literally don't have enough time.
Yeah.
I don't even really like to read. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I'm like that too.
It's the weirdest, worst job for me because everybody who has a book wants to talk to me and I'm like, but I don't.
Aww,
anyway,
yeah.
So good. It's so practical. I really feel like we're sitting down having coffee. There's not condemnation. And I feel like... You mentioned in your book that you weren't getting invited. You had a story about a girl not inviting you. You weren't getting invited to the mom groups because you intimidate people.
Yeah.
I don't get that from you at all. However, just the fact that you have 10 kids makes,
right.
You know what I mean? So that must be, maybe that's the thing.
That is what it is.
That's the thing.
It is what it is. They think that because I have 10 kids that I have it all together and I have all the answers. And because I homeschool, I must be a super mom. And instead of them feeling like, man, she must be so overwhelmed with her own life. They're intimidated by me and they just have it all backwards. Women have it backwards, you know, like, yeah, my life is intimidating to me. So
so help. So be my friend.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a question. I'm sure that people ask you, like, what's the dumbest thing you've ever been asked about the fact that you have 10 kids or the most hurtful comment? So I don't make it on accident.
Well, someone just recently asked my older daughter, they said, so does your mom know what causes that?
Oh.
So people have said that to me, but not to my older children. So
wow.
I just have a really great answer for that now.
Tell me.
So, yes, I do. And I love that.
Yeah. I really enjoy it.
So, yeah. But I get asked, you know, are you Catholic? Are you Mormon? Why would you have so many kids? Like, everybody just asked me that. And we didn't do this on purpose, but we didn't do it on accident. So we just have 10 kids.
How did you know when 10 was like, was it because you were in double digits?
So my body just started, I got really sick and I was having like infusions 2-3 times a week. And I had to stop traveling and speaking and I was pretty sick. I was in the emergency room with blood transfusions and my body's like, no more. So
okay.
No more.
How are you now? Several years ago, I met you. Then maybe it was because of illness, but you were like getting more healthy. You decided to kind of.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. And then was it because of the illness or then the illness happened after?
Yeah, the illness happened after. You know, I had all those kids and I decided to start eating more naturally and exercising and really taking control of owning who I am and doing things I enjoy. And then my body just crashed and I was still traveling and speaking and doing things, but I was barely able to function by the time I got home. So that was 2 years of that. And then my body slowly, you know, built up. I've done a lot of different things to help that, but anemia is bad.
Yeah. So. Well, and you feel so tired and with 10 kids, you don't really have the luxury.
No, it was bad. Yeah. Hospitalization type bad. So
I remember seeing that and being like, what is happening?
Yeah.
So tell me about what was that like? Just practically you've decided I'm going to prioritize taking care of myself.
Yeah. Well, it was after baby number 6.
Who even knows?
I know. And I looked in the mirror and I barely recognized myself. I was like, who am I? So I just decided to start walking because I love to walk. And then I ended up power walking and going to the gym. And then I started writing and blogging and going to conferences and then started to change our diet. And I started to reach out to other women because I had basically stuck myself, you know, in my house, homeschooling my kids. And that had become my primary focus. And I had lost everything else.
And how many years had that been at that point?
That had been like 10 years. So So I did not leave my kids until my oldest was 18. I got on a plane and went to Sally Clarkson's house. Yeah. And she looked at me and she's like, I was crying about something. I don't know what it was. And she said, you know, when I look at you, I just see like you're all bound up inside. Like you're so full of stress. She said, and she said, do you have people in your life that like speak into you? She said, because you pour out and you're giving to your kids and you speak and you do mom's groups. And I said, no, I don't have anyone. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I'm going to challenge you to go home and find five women that you trust and to bring them around you and to be intentional about that. You know, talk to them, laugh with them, be who you are. Mm-hmm. And so I came home and I did that. And that's when I started Raising Generations, the conference. And I started it in my living room, actually. And then everything I was speaking about, I was like, man, people really want to know about this stuff. So I thought I better write a book. Well, I didn't even think I should write a book. I just started writing it down.
We've all seen those mouthwatering smoothies on Instagram and thought, yep, that is what I should be eating. But who has time to make that every day? Wouldn't it be great if we could get all those picture-perfect nutrients without having to hit the farmer's market and chop up a million fruits and veggies? Listen, now you can get your superfoods super fast with Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest sends all that superfood straight to your door with your choice of smoothies, activated breakfast bowls, or quote unquote nice cream. Have you heard of that? That is ice cream for vegans. Each single serving cup comes ready to blend or heat. Cups are stored in the freezer so they're ready whenever you are. The produce is all organic, all unrefined, and it looks just as amazing as it tastes. You can actually see all of the whole ingredients when you open up the cup. Daily Harvest freezes their ingredients when it's fresh, which seals in the nutritional value. Preparing your cup is incredibly easy. You just have to add water, or if you're feeling super fancy, you can put in other liquids like coconut or almond milk. Either way, your Daily Harvest cup is ready in just 30 seconds. So you can eat right now. This morning we were having one of our homeschool days and I was so tired I was about to crawl back in the bed and hope the kids teach themselves math, but I decided to bust out the Daily Harvest cold brew plus almond smoothie. You guys, it was so good and it hit the spot. It wasn't too sweet. I was able to stay awake and now the kids know math. The world is literally a smarter place because of Daily Harvest. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code MSW to get 3 items free off your first box. That's promo code MSW for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. That's daily-harvest.com. Okay, so I have so many questions. So your motherhood journey started with a lot of loss. I think people with 10 kids, we assume you think about it and you're pregnant.
Yes.
But it was really sad to read about.
Yeah. The first part of the book is hard.
Baby, yeah. Who was born without any kidneys. You chose to carry to term.
Right. And then we talk later in the book. We had, you know, losses later. We lost twins and we had to have another funeral. And the first part of the book is heavy and it talks about loss. But the biggest reason I put that first is because I believe motherhood is about capturing and releasing. And the whole time I was pregnant for those babies, I was trying to capture every sacred, special moment, even though I knew that, you know, we wouldn't be able to keep them.
So much leaning in, but instead of being like, I can't even go there. You went there on purpose.
Well, it was hard. It took me some time. I had to work through some bitterness and anger. And I write about that. Yeah. And confusion. And I asked why, like, why? Why would this be happening? And that's why I titled the book the way I did, because women always wonder, why would God give me more than I can handle? Or why would God not allow me to carry a baby? Or why? But then motherhood's like that. Like, you know, we raise these kids, they've captured our heart, and then we release them. And so the whole crux of motherhood for me is capture and release. And so that's why I put that first in the beginning of the book.
I loved it. Yeah. I mean, and just you even said, your heart is going to grow up and leave.
Right.
Like, it's all about getting them to leave. Like, well, I mean, today it's about getting them to leave for me. It's been a rough day. But, you know, they're going to leave. You want them to leave and you want them to leave well. And
right.
But our default is just to control and. So it's about, capture and release. That's beautiful. And then you wanted to run away. Did you really have a suitcase pack?
Yeah, yep, I did. And so people that know me are like, oh, September, I can't imagine you ever looking or acting like that. And I'm like, you know, I think that's because people see what they want to see. Like when people look at me, I want them to see I'm a broken woman. I have emotions and I have those moments in motherhood where things are so hard. I just want to get in my car and drive away and let the kids fend for themselves once they're old enough. And that was real. That was a real thing.
Why is it that you come across so different than that, though? Is it like only just the amount of kids or just that you're kind of quiet? So we fill in the gaps?
I think I just have like a calmer demeanor. A lot of my frustration and my whatever I process with my husband, like he sees. In fact, he told me, he said, Tamara, I really know when I get in frustrating moments with you, I have to read your blog because I have to remember who you really are. Because when you write and you speak, I see the side, because he usually sees the frustration and like, how can this be possible type of, you know, mentality where by the time I've processed that out loud with him, because he was my friend all those years that women were not, you know, part of my life. Yeah. And so I felt very safe, you know, sharing that ugly side of myself. But having 10 kids gives you a very, you can either be polar opposite and high strung or just learn to accept that this is going to be. And I think I've just swung to that side of the pendulum where, yeah, I have really bad days and I raise my voice to my kids, but it's taken me 25 years of mothering. Thank the Lord, I have like a third chance on my 6-year-old. You know, I can finally be that relaxed kind of mom. I wasn't like that.
So you are a different mom.
Oh, yeah. I was the yelling mom. I was not who I am today. That's why I champion moms. I'm like, you can do this. Like, there is another side to this. And you just have to keep getting through it, you know, every day, just every day, get through it. But with help. And that's why I wrote the book.
So I'm speaking pretty soon. Actually, I looked up your conference because I won a ticket to it 1 year, but I couldn't get myself all the way across the country. And so then I was like, gosh, I wonder if I could just go this year. But I'm actually speaking at a conference on the same day. So that would be rude for me just to not show up to my own speaking thing. But I love that at the end, one of the things I'm speaking on in the future is intergenerational friendships and the importance of that among moms and just among women in general, and why we kind of pull back not even realizing that we're doing it. Nobody, it's not like we're like, I won't be friends with that person, but we think I don't need to, or they don't want to be friends with me, or how do I even identify them? I love that at the end of each of the chapters, there is like this, okay, so maybe you aren't the one that's struggling. What are you going to do about the woman you see who's struggling? Like, there's a very kind and very September way about saying, how are you going to help, Joker?
Yeah, right. Some people have like, oh, motherhood's hard, but I love it. And there's other things that are harder in life. Don't make such a big deal out of it. And I'm thinking, if you have really come to that point, then reach out to another woman who really needs some help.
And not just judge, right?
Right.
And I think if you hadn't had that season where you didn't feel like anybody was in your corner, you wouldn't have that.
Yeah, I champion women. Like if I see women out in public, and this just happened the other day at Target, there was a woman holding her toddler, just throwing a fit, you know, arching her back and screaming. I actually was watching all of the other people in Target watch her. And I, you know, condemnation, judgment, they were like whispering. And so there's a couple that I could tell were like, oh, that poor woman, like they're thinking it, but no one did anything, you know, like walked up to her and said, hey, we all have days like this.
Yeah.
Because I knew that she was a good mom. I could see she was just like almost in tears. And I thought, how many people really step out of their comfort zone to tell women, yep, we're all going to have bad days.
So is that all you said? Because I never want someone to think.
Yeah, I just tell them, hey, I just want you to know that you're doing a great job. This is just a rough patch, but you're going to get through it. Is there anything I can do? Because I don't want to say, hey, it's obvious your child's having a meltdown. What can I do? You know? Yeah,
so that's good.
I just want to affirm them and ask them, how can I help? And most of the time it'll be like, no, thank you. Because they're embarrassed, or they just want to get through it.
Stop. Yeah.
Yeah. But when they go home and they sit down, they're thinking, man, I'm so glad that person, I'm glad she told me that in that moment. You know, it's always later they remember it.
Yeah, that's good. Because I always want to go like to the kid and like distract them or do something to make the kid stop. But then I don't want them to think that I'm going, this is how you parent, because that's not what I'm trying to do. Right.
No,
I'm just trying to help make it stop.
Yeah, just trying to help.
That's great. OK, so you talked about the importance of filling your cup up before it's empty. And I think that probably took you years and years to realize that.
Yeah.
I hear from a lot of my listeners, it doesn't feel practical to do that. How in the heck am I supposed to do that? Even last night, I was staying up late. I was reading and then I let myself sleep in because I thought it's such a give and take. Like I can get up early and have time with the Lord that I love, you know, and not get enough sleep, or I can sleep in and take care of myself. It's just all the, and so then I wake up to the dog diarrhea and I'm like, oh, this, okay, so I did, I slept in and this is what I woke up to. So it's just hard to know how to fill your cup, how to find the time to fill your cup when there's so many needs. And you don't want to be the mom that doesn't meet anybody's needs because you're so worried on filling your own cup.
And I write that that chapter is really important because right now I think there's a lot of great ideas about how to do that. But I write in this chapter and people can take it how they want. But I wrote, it's really not one size fit all. You don't have to get up at 5 a.m. to fill your cup. You don't have to be like the other person if that doesn't work for you. And it doesn't work for me because I went through 2 years of health challenges and I had 10 kids at home and I was homeschooling and there was no way I could get up at 6 a.m. before they rose and get my walk in and get my Bible reading in. And so over the years, all these different seasons of motherhood, I've learned different ways to do that without feeling selfish and to find a balance. And I even left a graph in the book on women, you know, if they want to just like quick recall on just look here for this verse, because I, over all the years, I wrote down like post-it note cards and I would just keep them in drawers and I would keep them in my purse and I would stick them to the dash of the van. I'd be like, all right, I am having trouble with feeling overwhelmed. I know that I was supposed to be like reading in my Bible today or going to the gym, but it just did not work. And so I'm going to read this verse. I'm going to say it. I'm going to take a few minutes to write it out. And it's not always about having the perfect plan, you know? And so I just want to encourage women to let go of those expectations. They're grand, but there's a season for that.
Yeah.
You know, making it look like what everyone else's time looks like.
Letting go of the expectations while still having the forward momentum to grow closer to the Lord. And it, so it's tricky because sometimes you let go of all the things and you just watch Netflix and eat chocolate.
Yeah.
So I think, that's very tricky. You talk in your book about how it's important to recognize what our point of focus is and determine if it matches our vision for motherhood. Mm-hmm. And that really resonated with me because they're not the same for me a lot of times. And so you mean by point of focus, like if you're focusing on a behavior of a kid or just like there's a feeling in the house that's not, you know, or things aren't good enough or clean enough or you're not doing good enough. How do you determine your motherhood vision? And like if it's realistic or if you're even like being intentional enough? I think enough is a big question for moms.
So I made a list for myself. I was like, what are the big things? What are the little things? And then what do I want our family culture? Like, what do I want my family to feel like in our home? And what do I want the end result to look like? Even if I can't control it. Mm-hmm. And so the big things would be like unselfishness, courage, confidence, loving others, you know, like I made this list. And then small things would be like not whining and complaining and arguing. And although those really are big things, they're just external behaviors.
Yeah.
And so we created a family mission statement and it sounds also like official and grand, but it really helped us hone in, you know, and it's simple. It's in the book, it's on my website. And it's just like 7-8 lines. And it just helped me every day to remember. Now there's some days all of that gets lost, you know, like, what am I doing? But sometimes if I have the self-control enough to step back from a situation, like when my children are arguing and I can't quite figure out what is the purpose in this, I'm like, is there really a purpose in this? Are they just being selfish? I just always bring it back to what they're going to look like as adults.
Okay.
So if you can't get along with other people, I tell them, if you can't get along with one another, how do you expect to get along with, now I'm talking to some of my older kids now, but what are you going to do when you're married? What are you going to do when you have friends? What are you going to do when you're in school? If you go to school, what are you going to do when you have a job?
Yeah.
Instead of making about me, because a lot of times as moms, we make motherhood about ourselves. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah. So it's really not even about us. We just feel it because it's personal. We feel like this is so inconvenient to us, you know, and why do we have to go over this again and again? And I just keep remembering it takes work to grow adults. And so that's what I mean. Like, that's my purpose. It's not really who's fighting over that last bit of the Honey Nut Cheerios that's just trivial. Like, I'm trying to remember, what is this really about? Like, unselfishness.
Then do you address it? You said earlier about you had a daughter and she was usually outgoing and then she just started kind of turning in and you didn't know why. But at first she was just having some bad attitude and you thought, okay, I'm going to let that go. She's hormonal or she's just tired.
Yeah.
And I don't ever know what to let go
and
what to address.
Right. And it takes, you know, it takes time over the years. But the first thing I always ask myself is, what am I missing? You know, like, why are they acting like this? What am I missing? Because this isn't just them pouting or acting out. There must be something. Sometimes it's just like, I have a 12-year-old boy right now, and he is like, just loves to be loud and say why. And he's jumping all over the house. He's throwing a tennis ball at the walls. And I'm just, there's no why behind that. He's 12. And I'm just, you know what I mean? There's no guessing. He's 12. He's preteen. He's driving me crazy. But, you know, I keep reminding myself, he's 12. He's 12. There's not, I'm not going to fix this. It's just silly. It's annoying, but it's silly. But with like our kids where there's repeated behavior and we just can't, like, what is going on? It's usually a heart issue. Or, you know, I talk about the love languages in this book, which is huge. So that's really, really helped me with my mother.
So knowing how they love being loved. And so much of it is not being selfish when their love language is completely ridiculous to you, which is where I'm at with my kids. Yeah.
Yes.
Why can't they have acts of service and just clean my house up for me? Whatever.
Yes. I know. And I have like 10 kids and 8 of them are quality time.
Oh, I'm so like, tired for you.
Like, weird. Why? But no, it's just, you know, there's nights where almost generally half the kids that are 12 and older that don't go to bed at a decent time are climbing on our bed. My husband and I will already be just getting into bed and they'll all come in. Some are getting home from work and some are home from college and some are, you know, just getting ready for the next day of school. We homeschool and they're just all laying on my bed because all they want to do is talk. Yeah. And I'm feeling quite inconvenienced. You know, I just either I'm in bed. And so I've learned to just not shut off my emotion over it. Sometimes it's like, guys, I am really tired. Or sometimes I'll be like, you know what? There's going to be a day that I'm going to miss this. And this is like a gift, you know, it's like perspective sometimes. So the biggest thing in my motherhood, I've actually taught myself is to like actually physically take a step back and try and see it with fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I tell my kids, I'll put my hand up and I'll say, I can't do this right now. And we're going to come back to this in a couple minutes. And sometimes it's an hour. But I've learned to not react. And that's in my book, to act and not react.
Yeah. Okay, so literally take a step back, reassess the situation. Because part of me thinks, okay, well, then I should always just think, someday I'll love this, the days are long and the years are short. And then never address when I'm just like literally at the end. Like I am a person too.
Yes, right. And I tell my kids that. And I talk about that in the book, that a woman's greatest weaknesses have the biggest impact on their children. So sometimes I tell my kids, I am tired. I can barely talk to you without yelling. I've had a long day. I just need time. Like you need to leave me alone. And I don't feel bad for telling them that. Like they have times like that. I know when they're overwhelmed, you know? So I don't mind my kids seeing my weaknesses. You know, they've seen me yell and they've seen me come back and apologize. They've seen me cry. And I don't feel bad for it because what they end up seeing is they end up seeing God strengthen me, comfort me, help change me. You know, I want them to know God is real and that he's working in my life. And when I allow them to see some of those weaknesses, it's like showing them God.
It's true. No, I agree. I think that, you know, we're confusing. There's so many layers to us and why we do the things we do. And, you know, and I think that sometimes when I try to say, you know what, I'm going to take 5 minutes, you know, and then their little hands are under the door and they're just like needing you, whatever, needing you. Then I start feeling, you know, you just feel bad because they're never like, you know what, mom's been clean enough diarrhea. Let's stop fighting over the size of the cookie in our lunchbox. And I think that when they don't say, you know what, well done, or you do need to go give yourself a pedicure, just understanding that nobody is going to say, That's right. You should really do that for yourself, Mom.
Right. But we're adults, so we can. Right. It's okay. It's okay to do that. That's the practical side of women saying, you know, make sure you know your limits. That's really what it looks like.
Yeah. And stretching your limits, because sometimes I'm like, my limit is I'm done at 8 and you guys can just handle yourself.
Yeah. Right. I know. I love watching your Insta story at bedtime. Love it. Yeah. I really do. It's really refreshing because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm right there with her. And I think we all need to see that. So no pretending.
Nope. Okay, I want to pause for a moment and tell you about one of this episode's sponsors, Free Day Popcorn. Christmas is going to be here before you know it, and we all know that it can be tricky to find stocking stuffers that are unique, that either won't end up in the trash or aren't full of sugar. So I have to tell you about something that me and my kids experienced that we loved. Free Day Popcorn has popping ears. You pop the popcorn in the microwave. I don't know if you guys saw my Insta story about this, but you just put the ear of corn in the microwave and it pops. It kind of gets all over your microwave, but there's no butter or anything in it, so it's not hard to clean up unless your kids get frantically excited like mine did, and then they turn it into a mess. But what I love is they call it the ultimate snacktivity, because it really is. It's a snack plus an activity. They love watching it pop in the microwave. I gotta be honest, popcorn's not my favorite, but the reason it's not my favorite is because it gets stuck in your teeth. Well, what I learned from Free Day Popcorn is that since they only sell the current harvest, it's a lot fresher and it has fewer hulls, which are the things that get stuck in your teeth. So it kind of solved that problem for me. Free Day Popcorn is 100% whole grain snack, non-GMO, and gluten-free. And if you don't want all the popcorn going everywhere in your microwave, they also have options that are off of the cob, but I'm telling you, it's pretty stinking fun. So make your day a free day and visit freedaypopcorn.com and use the coupon code STRUGGLEWELL, all one word, at checkout for 20% off your purchase through December 15th. That's freedaypopcorn.com, coupon code STRUGGLEWELL. Okay, so you talk about studying yourself so that you can know how God made us uniquely. How would you practically talk about figuring out who you are?
Yeah, I, in the book, you know, talk about how I never really even thought about motherhood, and now I have 10 kids, and how crazy is that? So I think we're like always being transformed if we know the Lord and we're in the Word. But I really encourage, I have older daughters now, so I'm always encouraging them to not be afraid to chase their dreams and not be afraid of what God called them to. So, you know, God called me to raise 10 kids. I have 10 kids, but that doesn't mean the next person has to have 10 kids. Mm-hmm. And I champion her just the same. And I think a confident woman is someone who can be happy for other women and cheer them on in what they're doing. Because if we're all the same people, then how can we all uniquely fit into what God wants us to do? And that's the thing about raising kids. And I tell my kids that, and I tell other people that I'm not raising robots. You know, I have 10 kids, and it would be so easy for all of them to be the same, to look the same, to do, because it would be easier for me. But I have 10 unique people. I think when women can embrace who they are in the confidence that God made us all uniquely, then you can raise all these different human beings, you know, to grow up and be special people. Otherwise, they're going to be insecure and they're going to wonder, what should I do? And what do I do if I do something that my mom doesn't want me to do? You know, so.
Yeah. But how do you know if you like don't exactly know yourself? I'm walking through this with a couple friends who are like, I don't know what I like. I don't know who I am. So then sometimes we hyper control other people because we are not comfortable with them being comfortable with who they are. So how do we know who we are?
Right. It took me time. You know, we jump into motherhood and that becomes our new identity.
Yeah.
And I've seen that happen. It happened to me. And then I realized that I had kind of lost who God created me and given it all to my motherhood. My marriage almost failed. And I write about that because I had taken all of my identity and love and sidelined my husband, you know, my first love, and put it all in this arena of motherhood. And I want to, you know, women to know that they can be a mom, but they can also be a spouse if, you know, they're married and devote their love to that person primarily, but more importantly, be who God wanted them to be. Because there's nothing better than a mom who's happy, you know what I mean? And knows who she is. And because then your kids start to champion you. It's the most amazing thing, but you have to figure it out and it takes time. And sometimes you have to realize how much of your pie or piece of the puzzle you've actually devoted to motherhood. You've almost become lost in it. And so there's a difference between being purposeful and being completely consumed with something.
That's key. That's a big deal. Because you also talk about how motherhood trumps anything extra that might be calling our names. And I have just tuned my ears to hear all the extra things that are calling my name other than motherhood. Yeah. And so, being purposeful instead of completely consumed by something.
Like writing this book. My oldest is 25. Like, I couldn't imagine trying to write a book. And women do it. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But for me, no way could I have written a book. But that's who I am. I love to write. And I love to encourage other people. But this book is really what I lived all those years. So I can use that to encourage other people. But it doesn't mean because I wrote this book that my motherhood doesn't matter anymore. Because I was taking time to do that. You know, so it was when I started writing that book when I realized it's okay to be something other than on-call mom 24 hours a day, to have someone else help me or to ask someone to bring a meal. Like, those are the things we just don't do in the public eye, but it's something that's okay.
So what had to shift so that you could do this other thing, but still have a lot of purpose in your mothering?
Well, the first thing that had to shift was my guilt. Like, I started feeling bad about it. Like, how can I write a book? This was kept going through my mind. How can I write a book on motherhood when I'm not being a good mom? Mm-hmm. But I had equated being a good mom with spending time making meals, you know, all of those things I had equated to being a good mom. Mm-hmm. And when really that isn't what makes us be a good mom. Mm-hmm. So I had to get rid of the guilt. And so some things I had to shift were I had to asked my family to be on board. Like, we became a team and it is amazing. And we had a talk and my husband said, okay, so we take you to soccer games and we take you to swim lessons and we all, you know, we go out to eat or go to a movie. We champion you and your spelling, you know, like all these things that we're doing as a family to champion one another. And my husband said, but now it's your mom's time to be championed. Mm. And he gave them practical examples like, we have a goal and this is what it's going to look like. And you might have to help your sisters make breakfast and we're not going to complain. And it'll be a huge transformation for our family. And it was a short-lived thing, you know what I mean? But some things had to shift and everyone, it was rough. We had bumpy spots, but we got through it. And I have some older kids, you know, so some of them would help homeschool. My older daughter, you know, she's making meals, she's getting the groceries, but I couldn't have done that when I had, you know, 8 kids under 10. But everyone, it was a team. It's a team effort right now.
Yeah. Do you like practically have family meetings on a regular basis? What does that look like?
It looks like this. We're going to have a family meeting.
Okay.
And we have a family meeting. Sometimes my husband will say to the older kids who don't live at home, we're going to have a family meeting on Sunday. Everyone comes over for dinner after church on Sundays and it's great. You know, we keep it simple, but we don't have them. It's not like every other day, every week. It's more like sometimes it's like a couple times a year. Sometimes it's every couple of months. And sometimes it's once a month, depending on, you know, what's going on in our life. Like, this has been a big year for us.
Yeah.
A lot of different things, grandchildren being born, kids graduating. We had a wedding, the conference, the book. And so we've had a lot of family meetings. Sometimes the family meetings are about good news, you know, like we're going to talk about what's coming up and how to plan for it. Sometimes it's about conflict and behavioral changes.
Okay.
And in the journal, which is a companion for the book.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. I wrote out an outline on how to have a family meeting because people are asking me, well, what does it look like? What do you do? Is it awkward? Like, do people listen?
Can you share some of that?
So basically a family meeting in our home, you know, we call this family meeting. We have some ground rules. We have 4 rules of communication and it sounds so official, but it's really not. It's like, we have these 4 rules of communication. For example, attack the problem, not the person.
Okay.
So if you have something to say in the meeting, you know, like, so-and-so keeps taking my clothes and they don't put them back and they got to stand on it. We're not going to attack the person. We're going to address the problem. So we have these, you know, rules. It sounds silly to have
rules. Do you talk about them at the beginning of each meeting?
No, the kids just grow up hearing them. Like in the middle, like we'll be at the table and something will happen. And I'll be like, guys, let's just not, please don't attack the person. Let's address the problem.
Okay.
Because no one needs that. You know, we use that in our marriage.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we have these things and the kids get used to them. And if their kids are little, we, you know, we'll hold them on our lap. We make it fun. We're going to talk about a few things and we're going to try something new. So, for example, I talk about interrupting in the book. Mm-hmm. So if that's a new concept, and I had a reader just write me, and she was so excited. She said, I read about your interrupt rule. And she said, so we had a little family meeting and I sat my kids down and I said, so we're going to talk about interrupting and this is what we're going to do. And if you want my attention. And then she said she modeled it for her child what to do. You know, she said, and it felt a little awkward at first. She said, but then we were out in public and my child wanted to talk to me. And they tried this interruption rule. She said, and I was so excited. She said, and all it took was this family meeting and showing them what it looks like and why we're not going to interrupt. And she said, I'm so excited. It was so easy and practical. So sometimes family meetings with little kids, people think there's no way I'm going to get my kids to sit through a family meeting. But sometimes it's fun. You know, let's talk about the week and some of the things we could work on. And
yeah, I have this little card because my kids are 9 and 5. And so we're still in the place where family meetings would have to involve like jumping and chalk and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But these little cards that are kind of like lessons that are, you know, where you're moving and doing things and stuff. And one of them that I'm going to bet them each $20 because we're having like lots of mean words come out that they can, you know, squeeze toothpaste out, but they can't get it like $20 so you can get it back in because you can't get your words back once you squeeze them out.
Oh, right. Yeah. Object lessons. Love it.
So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I mean, I wish I was creative enough to I wish that was like my bent that I'm like coming up with object lessons and stuff, but I'm not. But someone did and I have cards about it. And so
I love it.
But I think that I'm also doing another talk on creating your family culture. And it's really great because I often wonder if what I'm doing is right or good enough or like does it count, you know, all these things. I know that they're not true, but like that's what's going on in my head is does my family culture count. And so when you look on like the movies, they're doing these other fun things and I think, oh, that's family culture that counts. It anyway, just the idea that the family meeting, however silly, creates a thing you're a part of. You're a part of a thing that has a meeting and has a purpose, and we do things.
Yeah, we call it a family meeting. It's actually just a great big, because there's so many of us, a great big conversation. We have fun. We laugh. Sometimes we cry. You know, you just never know. And what's really neat is when your kids get older, they call family meetings. So
I love it.
And which is cool. Okay, we're having a family meeting. I didn't know, you know, because it becomes part of your family culture. Your kids are like, well, this is what we do. And now they do it in their home. And it's just a special thing. But it really, it's a great place for everybody to be together because that's the big thing right now. So many things are pulling us in so many directions. Yes. But when you have a family meeting, then everyone's together, whether it's fun, silly, serious. You know, sometimes like right now with a situation in Texas, we have a family meeting so we can pray for these people. We call it a meeting, but it's really just we're getting together, you know?
Yeah.
So it could be for anything.
Okay. I know that you mentioned that with this many kids in your house, you obviously have a lot of conflict. And teaching them to love one another, I wanted you to talk about kind of practically, what does that look like? What does it look like when you don't see any fruit from all the things you've said 7 million times? Mm-hmm. How do you not lose hope? Like, you've done this enough times. I'm still like so new that I'm like, are you ever going to get it? But you've seen that they eventually do. I hope they do.
Yeah.
Tell me they do.
Yeah, there's a story in the book. The kids were fighting so badly and arguing. I sat them down on the couch and there was like a sock down in the crevice of the couch and I tied their hands together on the couch because there was like no, like I kept thinking, are they ever going to really love one another?
You tied one kid to the other kid?
With her hands. Yep. And I was like, I was desperate. I was like looking for something. There was this sock hanging on the couch. So I just tied them together. And I remember thinking, this is the most ridiculous thing. But in the end, they were laughing, you know. So now that my kids are older, I can see all of that hard work. You know, we're human beings. We're going to have conflict or disagreements. We are not going to think the same way. But teaching our kids how to love one another well is one of the most important things. Because I say, if you cannot love one another well, and I tell my kids this all the time, you will never be able to love anyone else well, because these are the closest people to you right now in your home. And I always say, if you can't love anyone, how are you going to do that when you leave here?
I have that conversation all the time. And I just am met with like glassy eyes or, you know, just their stone cold heart.
It doesn't really mean anything to them right now. I mean, so I had to start giving them practical.
So what do you do?
So like the other morning, there was a little bit of Honey Nut Cheerios left in the box. And I could hear, I was upstairs and I could hear my daughter say, I'm going to go in the pantry and see if there's any other cereal. In the meantime, her 12-year-old brother came down. He heard her say that. I heard him pour the last of the cereal and he started eating it. She started crying. He acted like he didn't care. He just kept eating his cereal. And I could hear it. And I was really hoping it would end well. Like he would either give it to her, say, I'm sorry. Nope, he didn't care. He just kept eating his cereal. So I had to call them both up. And I just said, how many times are we going to have to go over being unselfish? And why would you do that to your sister? And he just kind of stared at me. Can I go eat my cereal? And I'm like, so I said, you know what? We're going to talk about this later because that wasn't the moment. But there's some battles, you know, we feel they're battles that it's just not worth tackling. But in the end, our example, like how we love our spouse or how we love them, how we love our friends and what we're teaching them, it always ends up trumping all of that in the end. I can see that with my older kids. Okay. And they say things to me like, remember when, you know, my older kids, and they love one another really well now and they're adults, you know, my adult children. So, yeah.
Do you ever struggle with deciding a kid is a certain way and then kind of becoming bitter towards them?
Yeah. Like their personality, you mean? Just like,
yeah. Or just like, you're always the one that does X, Y, and Z, you know? And then, so just, I don't know, I guess with that many kids and that many behavior patterns, how do you keep your heart like tender towards them and still have hope for them?
Well, my second born is a girl. She's now married with a little boy. We were friends now, but when she was growing up, she was really difficult and she knows that. So I ended up having to ask a friend of mine to homeschool her for 2 years for me because it got to be so hard. And I just was tired of having to do that. And so I had become a little angry about it. I didn't understand why, you know, she couldn't just move past some of those things or work harder, but it wasn't really about that. It was just about her and her personality and me realizing that she wasn't going to be like her brother, you know, her older brother, who's very passionate and outgoing and friendly. She's just a super quiet, emotional person. So where I would be saying, I love you, and she would just smile at me, she didn't feel like she needed to tell me that she loved me. Like she just assumed I knew. But when you're only on your second child, you think, well, why can't they just tell me that I love you, mom? Yeah. And it took me time to realize that she just loves differently and she receives love differently. She doesn't need gifts. She doesn't need me. She just needs something different. But it took time. It took me some time to work through that and realize I have a really unique child here. And it took me time to ask a friend to help me. It does take time, but I learned to not resent it or to be upset about it because I want to have a great relationship with them when they're older.
Absolutely. Okay, so talk to me about self-care. You love taking walks. I always see you on walks.
Yeah, I like to take walks. I think probably because it's the only time I'm by myself.
Yeah.
You would think with 10 kids, I would be like an extrovert, but I'm really not. I'm really kind of an introvert. Okay. And so speaking and being in the public eye all the time and with my kids wears me out. So I like to be alone. I really like to be alone. So that's a self-care thing. Sometimes I'll lock my door and I'll just sit. Like it sounds so crazy because it's very rarely quiet in my home. It's loud all the time. So my husband and I take a date night once a week if we can. Okay. And when our kids were little, if we couldn't get babysitter, which was really rare, we would have a date night in. So we'd put the kids to bed at a certain time and we'd get some takeout and we'd either talk, watch a movie. So those are some of the things we did early on. Now we can leave. We have built-in babysitters, you know, and I like to write when I can, but I really love to just sit on my deck and just be outside in the sun. It's one of my favorite things just to be still because I'm moving all the time. Go.
Is it hard for you to stop what you're doing long enough to be still, or is it a little easier now?
It's easier now. I used to go. I ended up in the hospital after after my eighth baby, because I hadn't learned how to manage my time well. And I ended up just so sick from not learning how to be still. And I think this is the other side of the personality people see in me now. Like it took a long time and crashing for me to be what people think is a calm person. You know, like it took a physical breakdown for me to realize the importance of being still. And so I have no problem now going out on the deck and just sitting there. And the kids usually end up congregating around me. They pull up a chair. They end up coloring next to me. But I have to do it. Like I physically, mentally have to do it.
So look, what's your trigger of I need to go sit on the deck right now?
I usually am feeling like I have too much to do. I realize I had forgotten to eat. Like, I'm starting to notice these patterns. I forgot, you know, I haven't had a glass of water all day. I start to see, like, what have I done? Like, the whole day has gone by. I forgot to eat breakfast and lunch. I haven't had any water. We've been going nonstop. When I start to feel a little overwhelmed and I'm easily angered by the kids. Now, this all sounds so great, but like I said, it took me very intentional pursuits to start to recognize the things that make me less of a woman and less of a mom that I could be, the things that just completely wear me down to the point of a breakdown. And so when I start to recognize those things, when I get home in the car and I'm like, everybody out of the car, and I lock the doors just so I can sit there, I'm like, okay, this is obviously, I have gone way too long without being alone. And I do that a lot. A couple times a week, I'll just like, they'll come up and knock on the windows, they'll wave, and I'll just pretend they're not there. You know, they're fine. They're right there on the porch. I can see them. But when I start locking myself in the car, things like that,
good
when I'm
indication.
On my like, third cup of coffee, just things that push me to feeling overwhelmed, I just stop now.
I think that's so good. Cause then I just think, try harder, work faster. You know what I mean? Focus right, more right. Instead yeah. of go sit down. Yeah, I should do yeah. that. Well, we are almost out of time. I wanted to ask you, what is something other than book launch? Because, oh my gosh, what is something you can't stop talking about right now?
You know, I can't stop talking about my husband right now because it makes me emotional, but he is such a self-sacrificing person and he gets kind of lost in everything.
Yeah.
And for so many years, like I said, I was consumed with my motherhood that our marriage slowly became frayed on the edges so badly. But he's one of the biggest reasons that I wrote this book, because he champions me. So I'm in this season where I just feel like I just can't stop talking about him because, you know, no one can do motherhood alone. That's yeah. one of the things I say in my book, and I could not have done this without him.
I love that. So good. I think for me, my husband is such a hard worker and such an encourager, and he just like steadies our whole house when all the other three of us, our hair is on fire and we're just, you know, yelling and things are terrible. But I think, and it's not always like that, but when it gets intense, he comes in as, you know, calms yes. it down. But he just, before we got on the thing, he's like, oh, you know, I was reading this thing. He's not on social media. So he accidentally got on something on Instagram or whatever. And he's like, wow, I saw that you did this thing. And it's funny because we live in the same house, but he has no idea what I do on, on the World Wide Web a lot of times. And so he's like, and then I just noticed like all these women were being encouraged by what you were doing. And I just want you to know how proud of you I am. I'm like, listen, if you didn't make it to where I was a person who could have a conversation with people and not be crazy, if you didn't provide for us so well, like, and so he thinks all I do is I'm just an engineer. Like, I don't have that. I'm like, you have no idea that all of this is possible because of your love for me and your care for me. Yeah.
Right.
They don't realize how amazing they are and how we couldn't be who we are without them.
No, that's what my husband told me, you know, my builder told me, he said, when I married you, God very clearly showed me that my job is to help your dreams come true and to build you up to who God wants you to be. And he has always said that. And I was like, well, thank you. You know, I didn't really understand it until this year when the book released and he read it. I wouldn't even read my own book. Like I was afraid to open it. Like maybe it's not good. Maybe it's cheesy. And so we're on vacation and he read it and he was crying. And then he was like telling me, September, this is so good. This is us. This is what women need. Yes. And I thought, he was like my test pilot, but he's also like my pilot. You know what I mean? Mm. So I was really grateful for that. But yeah, I can't stop talking about him right now because he's so there for me.
I love that. I want to get that companion journal thing. I didn't even know that was a thing. I'm so excited to know that. September, thank you so much for all that you've done. I just think you're so fantastic.
Thanks for interviewing me. I appreciate this time.
Hey guys, I don't know about you, but knowing that she really almost ran away helps me. Knowing that she locks herself in her car, that helps me. I love just the idea of her just sitting on her deck saying, you know what, I'm just gonna take a little break. The times that I have done that, it's not a lot, but the times that I've done it, it kind of settles everything down in the whole house. I think our kids really benefit from seeing us rest. That is not deep information, but for me, for some reason, it's very new information. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week?
I would love if some of you who have older kids or some of you who have a pretty simple time, it's kind of easy being a mom. I loved what September said about what are you going to do to help the moms who are struggling then? So if you are in that position, who can you reach out to this week and encourage? I loved September's story about encouraging the mom at Target. I really don't ever know what to do, but I loved what she said. Just go and tell the girl you're doing a good job. You're clearly a good mom. This is hard for everybody. Who would not love to hear that? I had a sweet girl message me this week about how do you make all the things happen when you're so tired and you have such a little kid. And we talked about expectations and how it looks different in different seasons. And I loved what September said about finding time to fill your cup in different ways and letting there be grace for the fact that it doesn't look the way you would love for it to look right now. Maybe her idea of having a vision for your motherhood is new. Maybe you sit with God this week and say, what does that look like? What could my family culture look like? What needs to be different? What is going really well? Maybe this week you struggle well by calling a family meeting. If nothing else, it'd probably be interesting to see what the kids want to talk about. That may be something I want to do just for entertainment purposes, but also just to see what's actually going on and what do they think needs changing, because goodness knows I am always telling them what I think needs changing. Maybe what September said about being secure enough in yourself that you can let your kids be themselves. Maybe that spoke to you because you find that you are a little extra controlling because of a place of insecurity in yourself. I also loved what she said about letting them be themselves even if it inconveniences you. Maybe this week you can be a little hands-off about things that don't actually matter and let them do that weird thing that doesn't hurt anybody but that they super love. All right, guys, and now since I was talking about pumpkin spice lattes earlier, I'm gonna go get myself one, and I might even wear a scarf when I do it. Get all crazy about it. Remember, it really helps the show out if when you shop on Amazon, you go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon. It uses the show's affiliate link and helps cover some costs. I think you guys are really super duper fantastic. I look forward to interacting with you this week on the social medias. I want to hear what you loved about this chat with September, and I hope you have a great week of struggling well.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.